Hey, what's up, guys? That's right, Nerd Soul here. Get ready for the podcast, breaking down what happened in your week of geek. Doesn't matter if it's movies, comic books, TV shows, we're gonna get right into it. So I ain't gonna waste your time. Let's do this. We're about to get into thumbnails. That's right, anime, toons, cartoons, all of that stuff that we draw and put on screen, we're about to talk about. So I ain't gonna take too much of your time, baby. Let's wrap. Samurai Jack, XCVII or 90 whatever, I have no idea. But this episode we see, finally, Jack has been redeemed. That's right, the Dark Rider was trying to get him down, but the Dark Rider is just like the devil, and the devil is a liar. He came here to kill, steal, and destroy, and he's full of deceit, and don't get me started, but all I'm saying is he cut him down. And now we can move forward into heroism. But before we get back to that real quick, we're gonna talk about Ashi and her small heroic journey through this episode. And we got a little bit of someone else we gotta deal with too. But Ashi makes a full transition from someone who's like, hey, I'm searching for Samurai Jack, to someone who's willing to be a partner and helping him make this world a better place. She comes across a whole bunch of people that were like just so inspired, so changed, so uplifted by what Samurai Jack did for them. Especially when she talked to the people who could have, you know, gave him a trip back to where he was, and he chose to save them instead. And it truly, you know, it truly just gives her a perfect perspective on what's going on now that Aku has taken over. And probably one of the best ways to teach Ashi what's going on is through song. I ain't going front with a song like that, moves like that. I joined Samurai Jack too. But that's not all that went down this episode. Your boy, the crooner of Carnage, has woken up. He's back. He ain't dead.
I'm alive. Doo-doo-doo-doo. I'm alive. I'm alive.
See? I told you. You got it there for yourself. This part of the episode with him was just nothing but comedy. This dude is like scatting and sweebity-wee-bopping his way all the way through the episode. And dude is just funny, man. I love this part of the episode. I love how Samurai Jack can go from extremely artistic, extremely action-filled, and then dump in some silliness. You know, even this bit right here.
That's 50 credits, bud.
Trust me, babe. I'm good for it.
Yeah, well, the last guy I trusted did this.
Whoa, what a freak. Looked like a talking penis.
Now, I know this is a show for kids, but Adult Swim, you wrong for that. Because everybody was thinking that. Everybody was thinking that. But, hey, you got to do what you got to do when you're animating something, right? So, we get back to our hero, Samurai Jack. Ashi finally finds him. He looks like he's going to be in trouble because the Dark Rider is what I'm calling him. I'm sure it's like a real better name for him. But he has him in a position to take his own life because he is putting the weight of the guilt on all the people that he couldn't save, especially these children that he think he killed, you know, on his shoulders. And Ashi comes and lets him know that no, the children are fine, everything is good, and everything is back set right because of what they did. And it just rejuvenates them, brings them back to power, and it's so great. And before we move on about what I think we're going to do next, I gotta remind you guys that I am now on Black Hollywood Live. That's right, the first online network for African Americans. It's super dope. They follow Black Twitter, celebrity interviews, after shows, sports talk, geek, nerd tech, all of that. And you can find them at blackhollywoodlive.com. And once you go there and you need more, they do dope stuff from week to week on youtube.com/blackhollywoodlive. Now, of course, we got Ashi and her perfect transition from the all black to the new fashionable natural nature wear for the summer season. But we also now have a restored Samurai Jack, who is probably not weighed down by the guilt and the memories of everything that he things he might have torn down or lost or, you know, been the negative part of, now he's ready to get down to business and finding the sword. Now, I think there's going to be a race because the crooner of Carnage is the only one that knows that Samurai Jack doesn't have his sword. And that's the only reason Aku is really scared of him, because the sword is the only thing that can take care of Aku. If the crooner of Carnage can get to Aku before Jack can get to his sword, we might have some dope sequences on our hands. But this time, Jack is not alone, and that's what I think is dope. So you guys, jump down in the comments. Tell me what you are feeling about the new Ashi look. Homegirl is looking fly for the new season. Got her little flare on her shoulder, little leaves and stuff. The girl got skills. And did you ever think that she was butt naked the whole time running around? I don't know, man. Hey, look, we got more stuff to talk about because we got to get into a little thief that's international, and we all know her name. So anyway, I got to bounce for now. And next up, Netflix has ordered a full first season for Carmen Sandiego. That's right. They are rebooting Carmen Sandiego. They're taking it from the 80s cartoon, from the 90s, I mean, the 80s game, the 90s cartoon, the 90s live action show, and now they're putting her in an animated series. Once again, it looks like Netflix is really going all in on this animation, but this will be her first time ever being streaming or being in new media at all, where she's gonna be voiced by Gina Rodriguez, and we're gonna get into her younger days. You know, like her backstory, like before she was Carmen Sandiego. You know, before we was writing songs about her, before we were singing about her, before the episode started, the real Carmen. You know, back when she was just, you know, Carmen, I don't know, San Jose? I don't know. But anyway, the bottom line is, this could be pretty fun. Like, maybe we'll see why she got into international thievery. I don't know why she got into the thief game. Maybe, you know, maybe she learned from an older thief that, you know, showed her the ropes of how to steal stuff and how to evade the cops. Because Carmen Sandiego was the best when it came to just getting out of stuff. I remember the video game, like, she was literally the most OP thief in video game history. Like, the girl was, like, untraceable. She might as well have been the inside man or something. But I'm hyped. Are you hyped? Is this bringing up some nostalgia for you? Are you ready to show your kids a little something about Carmen Sandiego? Maybe they can learn some things. I'm sure they're going to teach you about, you know, different cities around the world and, you know, different items and, you know, maybe a little backstory on, you know, this certain locality. Could be pretty cool. So I'm going to keep my eye on this and you keep your eyes on it too. And jump down in the comments. Let me know what you remember about the Carmen Sandiego game or the TV show. And were you digging it? Or are you not? Because Carmen Sandiego was cheesy, but it was good cheese. But next, J-Team, next up. That's right, we're going to be talking about J-Team. Yes, yes, oh yes, it's been a while. If you didn't know, Jackie Chan is coming back with another animated series. See, back in the year 2000, he had a show that ran for about 95 episodes. That was, you know, the Jackie Chan adventures, and him and his family members would kind of fight off these bad guys that were looking for magical talisman to kind of like control the world and control different mystical things. And the show was really cool, especially when it flashed forward to the future. It was dope. It was, at first I thought it was kind of like a gimmick, but it ended up being really cool. Well, it looks like we're not the only people that realize that coolness, because now there's going to be a newer series called J-Team. And this time is following a young Jackie Chan with his friends, probably around 8 or 9 or something, that protect a magical dreamland from, you know, of course, those that would look to destroy it. And when you're protecting the dreams of innocence to keep them away from nightmares, there's just nothing better than that. So as far as we know, this is gonna be aimed at kids between 3 and 10, which is probably that perfect sweet spot, because it'll show the young Jackie Chan, like I said, probably 8, maybe even younger, maybe like 6. It'll be real cute. They'll teach messages about teamwork and friendship and all of that good stuff. And you'll get some pretty cool fight scenes in it too. And all for the kids. You know, Mike, a lot of kids. Nerd Soul is for the children. See, all these, look, straight up, all of these nerd shows is good nerd shows, but Nerd Soul is for the children. Straight up, we got children, we got your back, we right here. But also listen to your parents and, you know, grow up and be real strong and drink your milk and all that good stuff and go to sleep when they tell you and brush your teeth and, you know, all that good stuff. So anyway, are you hype about J-Team? Do you think that Jackie Chan still has some cool adventures to show in an animated form? This time it will be CGI. It's not going to be 2D. So there could be a lot of cool stuff that they could do in this magical dream realm. So let's get down in the chat and start talking about whether you think this is going to be good, bad, how long this could run, or, you know, maybe the kind of stories they could tell. We about to get into some cool on-screen update for you guys. Now, it's going to be really quick, going to be really short, but I got to bring you guys up to date and remind you on something. So let's wrap. Vixen Blu-ray movie coming at you so soon and so strong. Last time we spoke about this, it was like in February, and I know you guys may have forgotten. So let me remind you. Vixen had a series on the CW seed. It had two seasons. They were all very short episodes, but it coincided in the Arrow Flash TV universe that's on the CW. It showed her adventures, you know, kind of coming into her own, even learning about her past, learning about her heritage. It was animated very, very slick with some top quality action and some top quality voice acting from the people that actually play Arrow, play The Flash, play Cisco, and all of that stuff, because it is wrapped up in that Berlanti universe. Now, I know you guys are probably saying, hey, it's no big deal, it's just an animated film. Well, not exactly. See, Vixen is going to be the very first black female superhero-led film from DC or Marvel. And that's a milestone. I know you guys are probably thinking, like, really? Are you sure there hasn't been one? I looked it up and I couldn't find one. So, the good thing is that this is coming out to us on digital and Blu-ray. Digital people are going to get it first on May 8th, and then the Blu-ray and DVD people are going to get it on May 23rd. And it's going to be real dope to see this, because it's not only the collected episodes, but it's also 15 extra minutes of action, animated goodness to tie all of these episodes together and give you a full feature length movie, which I am excited about, because not only are we getting all these episodes together in a very well streamlined story, but we're getting a whole bunch of stuff that we've never seen. Like 15 minutes could be three, four scenes, maybe five scenes, depending on how you cut it. So there's a lot of information in those 15 minutes that we could get. And the cool thing as well, on top of all this, is that there's going to be some dope special features. You're going to get a featurette about Vixen and, you know, her like animal history and the origin of her powers. And we're going to get two handpicked episodes from Bruce Timm himself, from Justice League Unlimited, kind of showing you what she was like back in the day. So this is incredible, and it's really cool, and I don't think people are realizing how dope it really is to have something like this that's coming out on digital and Blu-ray in the same quality that they do Batman, the same quality that they do the X-Men, the same quality that they do Superman, they're giving to Vixen. And I'm just over the moon for this, and I can't wait to get my hands on that digitally. Big shout to Warner Brothers. Make Static Shock season 1 and season 2 digital as well. I'm not really into the physical media no more. But on top of all of that, you get a great story of, you know, a young woman that's able to lead her own version and her own journey of heroism, which I think is just something that should be celebrated as a whole, and it's really cool. But before I go on, I gotta holla at y'all and let y'all know that I am now available on Black Hollywood Live. That's right, the first online network for African Americans. And if you want to check them out doing Black Twitter, celebrity interviews, all of that stuff, from after shows, sports talk, geek nerd tech, you can check them out on blackhollywoodlive.com. And if you want to check them out from week to week with a whole bunch of cool videos, check them out at youtube.com/blackhollywoodlive. So I know you guys are probably like, you know, Vixen, what's the big deal? Well, I think the importance of this is that we're able to have a DC release that has nothing at all to do with Batman, also based on a black woman who is a hero of her own story and shows the connected heritage with Africa. There's a lot in there, and there's a lot of meaning and importance in there. And I hope you guys dig it. If you haven't checked it out, you can check out the CWC.com or CWCTV.com. Google it, you'll find it. But you can check out some of the episodes there. It's really well animated. It's really cool. I think Phil Barussa did some of the work on it. So it's just extra dope. And I think that you guys should keep an eye out on it because it's going to be coming real soon for you digital cats. Oh, yeah. It's another episode of Talk Shop. We're going to get into some comic books, talking about all that goodness in them panels, and have a good time. But before we get started, I got to invite you guys in the LA area out to my first annual comic kickback. That's right, this Friday at the Comic Bug on Manhattan Beach Boulevard. Come on through. Meet up, let's shoot some videos, let's get some free comics, let's just listen to some music and have a good time. Now, before further ado, last week we talked about Valiant Summit. And it got me wondering about Valiant Comics as a whole and maybe a couple that I haven't read in a while. And I looked around in my closet and found Bloodshot Armor Hunters. And this is like a small piece of the Armor Hunter storyline that went on back in like 2013, 14, something like that. So let's wrap. Bloodshot and Armor Hunters deals with just kind of like a bottle episode with him and Colonel Capshaw inside this military base where they have to deal with some alien insurrection and a prisoner that they're not too keen on. But if you're not into Armor Hunters and you need a little quick recap, here's what it's about. Armor Hunters has to do with Malgum and some other aliens that are coming to Earth looking for the armor that Exo Manowar wears. They want it, they gotta have it now, and they're willing to do anything to get it. When we come in this comic book, we find out that they've blown up, I think, Mexico City just to get that armor. And of course, a nice rebuttal or a retort or retaliation, if you will, Unity, which is like Livewire, Bloodshot, and some other people come together to, of course, protect the home front because Earth is under attack. And this episode, like I said, is a bottle episode all in pretty much in just one spot, but you get a lot of close quarter action. The art is on point in these issues. It's about three issues as a whole, but there's a lot of dope art here, and Bloodshot gets into it. The nanites are just repairing them. He's shooting and blasting. There's tons of blood, tons of headshots. And there's a great meeting between Bloodshot and Malgum in his cell where he's just like talking to Bloodshot like, yo, they're going to do you like they do me. What makes you think that you're any different? And it hits home a little bit because, you know, Bloodshot has been pretty much just a tool that the military or whatever secret, you know, society has used him for so long. But in this situation, you have Colonel Capshaw, you know, kind of by his side or almost working, you know, as his, you know, initial or immediate report, kind of holding the base down, you know, giving orders, holding it down, keeping his back straight and his back covered while he's dealing with multiple aliens, multiple threats, all kinds of creatures that I can't even try to describe to you. Just big alien dogs. But this episode works best because it shows you the inside of Bloodshot's kind of thought process as he's fighting. He works so well with the AI of the military base, with Livewire holding him down, getting his back. It even comes to like a cool segue during the end where you find out that this dude has really covered all his bases and has been literally playing a chess game inside of this, you know, military base ever since the beginning. And the guy is just I'm a Bloodshot fan now. At first, I was never really up on him, and I didn't really see, I guess, the appeal. But I'm kind of warming up to Bloodshot. I think I'm down with Bloodshot now. I can say that he's okay. At first, I thought he was kind of overrated, but I'm coming around to the guy. What can I say? I mean, you get some tightly tied boots, fatigues, and a whole bunch of bullets and foreheads. I can't say no to that. So, what I have to say mostly about this episode, or excuse me, about this issue or this volume of issues, is just to check it out. If you haven't checked out Armor Hunters as a whole series, it's definitely some fun. Of course, it's dated because it came out like in 2014, but I'm pretty sure you guys can check it out in any one of your nearest comic book stores, just like the Comic Bug, and I'm sure you guys should have a lot of fun if you're into action. You know, Bloodshot isn't a superhero, if you would, but, you know, dudes like this military, super Rambo-ish dude that has, like, a healing factor like none other. But before I go ahead, I gotta let y'all know to check me out here, and also you can find me on Black Hollywood Live. That's right, it's the first online network for African Americans. They do Black Twitter, celebrity interviews, after shows, sports, geek, nerd, tech, and all that. You can find them at blackhollywoodlive.com. And from week to week, they hold it down with all kind of videos. And to keep up with that, you can hit them up on youtube.com/blackhollywoodlive. Now, back to what I think sets this apart from many other like crossovers and stuff, is just that Valiant writes their stuff so differently than like other, you know, companies like DC, IDW, Marvel, whatever. It's cool to see how their characters relate to each other. It doesn't seem catchphrasey, if that, you know, if I'm kind of reaching you guys, if you know what I'm saying. Like, there's times in Marvel or there's times in DC where things seem kind of catchphrase-like, but a lot of the dialogue is very, it seems like something normal people would say to each other in a situation like this. And also the art is spectacular and the way that it's wrapped up is really smart. So this is a volume that I say is definitely worth picking up. I think it's like $11.99. You'll probably get it a lot cheaper now because it was made back in 2014. But it's pretty cool to check out Valiant now because they're getting ready to revamp a lot of stuff in the coming year and this summer. We got another wonderful movie review for you. And today we gonna get into Logan. Boy. Talk about having a movie that I didn't even know what to expect after the trailer, but was so happy with what I got. Now, before I get into this, I'm going to let you guys know that this is going to be a non-spoiler review, but could get spoilery because of how excited I am about this. Now, the reason I'm staying non-spoiler with this is because I know the movie is still in theaters some places, still has a couple of showings, and I don't want to ruin it for you guys. Once it's out on home video, then we can do all the spoiler talk, but I try to keep it on the low-low for y'all that might not have been able to see it yet. Straight up, this movie is on point. I'm not even going to mince words with you. This is the Wolverine movie that I never knew I would ever get, but dang sure I'm glad I got. The opening sequence is just so jarring because you don't expect something like that to happen so soon. And we jump into the life of this guy who was a hero, who was a warrior, who was a fighter, and at the end of his life just doesn't really have any true direction in a world that has turned on him and his kind. And this movie hurts, man. This movie is sad. This movie is a gut punch. Truly, with the way they characterize Caliban, the way they characterize Professor X, and just the sadness and the somber tone that surrounds the lives of these people that have lived long enough to see what they loved, in this case, as far as, you know, Professor X, to see his school crumble, to see his mind deteriorate, to see his friends withered away, you know, to see his, you know, his family taken. It just, man, this thing is just, it's crushing. And you have Logan that just, he's on the ropes. Life has him, you know, back against the turnbuckle, and it's just beating him constantly. You know, both of them are dealing with health issues. Both of them are dealing with barely being able to survive the basic, you know, day in and day out of just living. And they're, you know, of course, brought into this whirlwind situation of a young girl that just needs some help. She needs to get away from Transigen, that has never been the best and most friendly company when it comes to mutants. But just her entry into their life is exactly what they need and exactly what they don't need. She brings a realization of mortality, but that realization of mortality and that hope for a future is also what puts them in the most craziest of situations, and the heightened danger that you experience through this journey that they have to take with this young girl to try to get her out of trouble. And it's just a journey of just sadness and death the whole way. And though this movie is great, it just hurts to watch. And I've seen the movie twice. Both times I thought it was a great movie, but it just hurts to see your heroes like this. But straight up, this movie is well written, it's well directed. The action is on point, the score is on point. I have nothing else to say for this film except that it is a 5-star film. And you definitely need to see this if you're into good movies, because this isn't a superhero movie. If you're into good movies, check this out. And in other related news of things that you need to check out is tomorrow, if you're in LA, you need to check me out at the first annual Nerd Soul Comic Kickback. You can check me out at the Comic Bug on Manhattan Beach Boulevard. Right there, I'm having a meetup. Been doing it for a year now, having a bunch of fun with free comics, music, whole bunch of friends and all that. And it's just going to be a great time to get our live stream on, get our videos on, talk some comics and hang. But after that, you need to rush home if you haven't already seen it and check out Logan, because this movie is just something that I think the genre needs as a whole. And I want you guys to jump in the comments. Let me know what you think about Logan, because I think movies like this, TV shows like this, help to diversify the genre of comic book films and comic book entertainment so that it doesn't get stale. This is the type of stuff that we need. You know, we might need, you know, a comic book kind of like romance film or a romantic comedy or something, so that it's not all superhero. Because even though Wolverine is a hero and he is the savior for another generation of what could be more heroes, this is not a rosy tale. You know what I'm saying? It's not a rosy tale. So before I move on and we get into some very slight spoilers, I gotta let you guys know that I am now on Black Hollywood Live. That's right, you can check me out there on the first online network where for African Americans. And you can check me out on blackhollywoodlive.com, where they do after shows, follow up on Black Twitter, celebrity interviews, all that stuff. And if you need to see what they're doing from week to week, you need to check them out at youtube.com/blackhollywoodlive. So this is the slight spoilery section. The young girl being so closely tied with Logan, and the ending sequence where she lifts up the cross and turns it into an X. If that doesn't touch you as an X-Men fan, and I know Fox has not done the best with X-Men, but when she lifts up that cross and makes it an X, that is, man, that touches a brother. Straight up. That touches a brother. For real. That this movie right here, go see Logan, man. I can't say no more. Just go see Logan. It's worth it. It's worth every penny. It's a deep drama and a deep character-driven story that happens to deal with some people that have powers. So that's my time. I love this movie more than I would ever have expected to. And I hope you love it too. So let's jump down in the comments. Let's talk about it. Dropping Jewels. And pretty much that's all about picking up a couple of fragments of news that we thought were cool, but we just couldn't get to during the week because it's a long week. But since it's Friday, we're going to go in and speed it up for you. We ain't going to take all your time. Let you get your weekend on. So let's wrap. Kingsman: The Golden Circle has just dropped this trailer. It looks cool, just as flashy and fly as it was in the first movie. A full crazy pack cast. I mean, look at this cast. Now, when you see some of the stylization of this, it looks kind of like we're getting a run back of what happened in the first film. And I don't know if that's a thing of sequelitis or not, because, you know, sometimes it's just like, well, let's do what we did before, but just bigger and better. But that doesn't always have to be a bad thing. In this kind of interpretation of Kingsman, Matthew Vaughn has shown us that this is about being like wild and funny and action-packed and crazy and cheeky, if you know what I'm saying. And all of that wrapped into one. And this trailer does its job. It's pretty cool. It doesn't blow me away. It didn't really like make me watch it over and over and over. But it did its job. It's like, yo, Kingsman is coming back. There's going to be some fresh, crispy, fly graphics for you. And, you know, Eggsy is back in trouble. Now, one thing that I did think was kind of strange is when they bring back the character of Colin Firth. And I don't know how I feel about that, because the way they took care of him and ended his tenure in the first film, it's kind of like, come on, man. Like, the reason you did that is to break away from the type of films that, like, no one can be hurt or no one can be, you know, meet their demise. And now it's almost like you want to have your cake and eat it too. But we'll see how this plays out in the film. Hopefully it's not something corny, but I feel like it could be something corny. But with Matthew Vaughn doing his thing, it's highly doubtful. This is probably going to be an action-packed ride and something real fun that you can get into, and hopefully another sleeper hit, because it doesn't seem like many people are really checking for Kingsman. So this might be another chance to slide on in there, get them dollars, get those repeat viewings, and get out. So I won't say I'm hyped for this movie, but I do want to see it. I'm just not overboard yet. You know, the Statesman stuff is cool. I don't know how they're going to play off the dynamic between a Kingsman and Statesman. It looks like they've ratcheted up the villains a little bit. So I'm definitely ready to have some fun. Now, before we move forward, I have to remind you that today, yes, today is my first ever comic kickback at the Comic Bug. If you're in the LA area, come on down tonight from 6 to 9, a little after work jam, hanging out, chilling, celebrating being in the game for a whole year, doing it up, staying fly, and giving you dope flows daily. So before I go any further, you know I want to know what you think. Get in them comments, let me know what you think about Kingsman having a sequel and Kingsman as a whole. Do you think this is something that could sustain maybe a third movie? Do you think that this is something that should have just been one cool film and just let it go? And since this is your Friday, not going to take too much of your time, so we got to move forward. And next up, oh yeah, we got Static Shock Season 2. It's going to be dope. I'm so happy they're releasing this on DVD. Now it's going to be manufactured on demand. So you got to go to the site, tell them you want it. They're going to print it up, package it, and send it to you. But at least it is available. So my question to you is, have you gotten Season 1 yet? If you haven't, are you now ready to get Season 1 and 2 together? And what are your favorite moments from Static Shock? I thought it was a cool little animated series that helped kind of round out the DC world as a whole. And it was cool to see a lot of like the little tie-ins and cameos that he got on the show as well, which was pretty cool for a hero of that status to kind of come out of nowhere at least for DC's offerings, and really kind of like make an impact like he did. So are you about to be nostalgic on me and watch that by yourself, or are you going to share this with your youngsters and watch it side by side with your kids and maybe have a little fun that way? But before I move on and get into some more Static Shock, I got to let you guys know that I'm now on Black Hollywood Live. That's right, the place that is the first online network for African Americans. And you got to remember that you can check me out at blackhollywoodlive.com, where they do things from week to week, holding it down on celebrity interviews, after shows, geek nerd, tech, sports talk, and all that on youtube.com/blackhollywoodlive. Now, when it comes to Static Shock, jump down in them comments and let me know what your favorite episode is. Like, what was your favorite interaction or favorite cameo? Because I definitely want to, let's get into some talking about that. Let's get hype about Static Shock. It's cool to see WB sort of kind of making it available. Anyway, let's go on and move on. It's Friday, man. Next up is a little bit of news coming out of the Valiant Entertainment and Sony camp. See, a couple of years ago, they made a deal for 5 movies. There were going to be Harbinger, Bloodshot, maybe some other characters, and it was going to culminate in a movie called Harbinger Wars, which was going to be this big crossover. Everybody was going to be in it. It's going to be really fun. And then we didn't really hear much about it after that. We did hear a little bit about TV from Valiant Summit about a week or two back, but it's been kind of mum's the word. But now we've got a little more news on the development, the production of this film. They've picked up 2 new writers, which are Justin Tipping, and they're picking up Joshua Golden. Both of those writers, if you don't know about their team up, have written probably most recently on the film called Kicks, which is a real cool little film, and it has a lot of character and a lot of heart to it. So if you haven't seen Kicks, to see kind of what they can do together, the value that they can bring to a film, check that movie out. Now, also, if you were wondering about the producerial team, they've got Neil Moritz producing this, and he's one of the producers of the Fast and Furious series. So that guy knows about success. So bringing these two teams together, or these two groups of people together, seems like it's going to be all good for Harbinger, because this is going to be rewritten from the beginning. So they're probably doing a page one rewrite. So since this is going from kind of like ground zero for this, I think this bodes well for it. I'm glad that they're sort of taking their time instead of fast tracking something just because comic books are hot, because I really love Valiant Comics. So I don't want them to go out half cocked. I'd rather them wait, get it just right, and then give it to us. So are you a Valiant fan? Are you into Livewire, Shadow Man, Bloodshot, any of those characters, Ninjak, Harbinger, Faith, all of that? Let me know down in the comments, because we haven't heard any news about Livewire or Shadow Man, which I need in my life. But we have heard that Harbinger, which is going to be sort of like an X-Men team, and Bloodshot, which is like nothing you've seen in the pages before. So I'm interested to see what you guys want to see on the big screen. Are there certain heroes of yours that you're like, yo, I hope they put this person in the movie? Let me know all about that, because I'm psyched to see what this will look like, especially after the trailer for the web series for Ninjak. I know with an even larger budget, man, it's gonna be crazy, and we are in for a treat. So that's my time, and I gotta get out of here. But before I get out of here, I gotta tell y'all to hit up thatnerdsoul.com. That's right, all my videos are there, from the oldest, the newest, the latest, the greatest, and you can drop me a line. And don't forget to hit up shop.thatnerdsoul.com and pick yourself up a t-shirt, player. And don't forget to get one for them playettes. Then come back here, like, comment, subscribe, and share that Nerd Soul. Because on the real, subscribing and sharing is the only way that I can tell people that you like what you are watching. So before I bounce, you know I got to give a shout out to LA, what up? VA, what up? RVA, you got my heart. And please, be good to each other. Be good to yourselves. And go order some Static Shock. Peace.